Yeah, so praise God. We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And today we'll be trying to see how, you know, the encounter of Paul and Silas when they encountered the slave girl. And we are in Acts chapter 16. And really to see, you know, we've been looking at the second missionary journey of Paul. And we have seen how he now starts, he had to get guidance from the Holy Spirit on where to do his mission at. Remember, he had desired to go to Asia and Mysia, but each of those times, the Holy Spirit resisted him or refused him. And again, he says the Spirit of Jesus refused him as well also to go to Asia. But then in the night, he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw a man dressed in Macedonian clothes, a Macedonian man calling out to him, crying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And immediately they concluded that the Holy Spirit was calling them to go to Macedonia, and thus they were able to go to Macedonia. And we have said that Macedonia is really the place where you find Philippi, you find Thessalonica, you find Berea. So ideally, some Apollonia, Amphipolis, this really was one of the key areas for the church. And I remember at this point he is now able to plant churches on this side. And so we're able to see in summary in our previous message of guidance of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit knows who needs a message, knows whose heart has been prepared, because remember, everything that we do is that we are sowing the word. The seed is the Spirit, is the Word of God. Luke chapter 8 verse 11, and each time we preach the Word of God, we sow the word in the hearts of men. And as they listen to the word, then that word continues to bear fruit. And eventually, when the right laborer comes, then they are able to speak the word to them, and they can accept Christ. So God knows at each and every point when the word should be spoken. And it's not that eventually Paul did not preach in Asia. He did. But you see, at this point, the time was not right. So timing is very critical to God, and that is when we know we need to learn the distinctions between what is permissible and what is the perfect will of God. So in the liberties of Christ, yes, everything may be many things or everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So we need to be able to know that distinction. And so as we're going to read today from Acts chapter 16, and we'll also be able to see how the spirit of discernment comes into play, and today we shall be able to look at how as he encounters the spirit of error, or really, you know, the Python spirit, and which is a spirit of divination, and we can see how Paul is able, by the grace, by the inner witness, to be able to distinguish between spirits and to be able to know what is of God and what is not of God. Yeah, so anyway, let us read in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible says, one day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. So if I read just that verse in King James, it says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So here what we are seeing, there is the spirit of divination, and if you click on that word divination, it says Python, or it's like a snake spirit, a spirit of a snake, that enabled, you know, that was able to tell the future, you know, and she brought much gain to her masters. So this is a spirit, yes, that could tell the future, could tell, you know, the chances of people, could give people direction, you know, was accurate in terms of it could say the truth about someone, say what is true about someone, and based on that, they made a lot of money by her masters. So she was being used as a medium, she was being used as as a contact point with the spirit world. And based on this use that she was being used, she brought money. And this is some of the characteristics that will be able to come up and come a distinction between the spirit when we are dealing with the spirit of divination and also when we are dealing with the spirit of Christ, to distinguish that. But anyway, we'll get that to that as we go along. Verse 17, the Bible says, she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." So what we can see is that, or rather, she has come to show you the way of salvation. She was saying accurate things. She was saying what was true, and it was like she was an evangelist. You can imagine, you can think of it that she's saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved. They have come to show you the way of salvation." So basically what she was doing or what she was saying was not wrong. And the place where she was saying it was also not wrong, because she was actually following the servants of God, and someone could actually think that she was a Christian, or she was born again, or she was obedient to the word of God. And you see, at times you can be in church and you know, people are, you know, saying preach on, preacher, you know, or giving prophecies, but it does not necessarily mean that they are speaking from the Spirit of God. So verse 18, the Bible says, this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated, or he got vexed in his spirit, or grieved in his spirit, that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and instantly it left her. Verse 19, her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews. They shouted to the city officials, "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." Verse 22, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. And then verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 31, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Let me just stop there. And hopefully you can be able to conclude that, and you will be able to see where Paul invokes his citizenship as a Roman. Later on, when they want to release them quietly, he said, "I mean, I'm a Roman. How did you just beat me?" So citizenship is very important. It helps you. So if you can get one, get one. But that's not the message for today. But let us go back to this lady with the spirit of divination and this spirit of Python, or Puthon, as you can see it in Greek, and where she was using divination. Now, this thing is the concern that we have nowadays in the church, and even in in the world is that we have faced with a lot of error. And if you look at what the scripture says, that, you know, in, I think if we look at 1 John 4, the Bible says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit, or rather, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You must test them to see if the spirit they have comes from God, for there are many spirits, false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of Antichrist, which you had, is coming into the world, and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world, and you have already overcome them." Because those people belong to this world, so they speak from a world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. This is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception or the spirit of error. So clearly what we know, or what we are seeing from the scriptures, is that there is a spirit that is called the spirit of error or the spirit of deception. And it can easily mimic the prophetic. Remember, with God, there is the real. But then with the devil, there is always the counterfeit. Now, for everything that the devil does, everything that tells you that there is a real version of it. So if you're not able, by the Spirit of God, to distinguish between the real and the fake, you can easily fall for the fake. Now, the fake might say something that is true. And you see, when you're dealing with someone who is dealing with divination or having the spirit of error, what they will try to do is they will first tell you something about yourself that is true to gain your trust. Now, if at times when what they use is what we call familial spirits. Now, familial spirits are spirits that know you, they know your history, you know, they know your family, they know your generation. So based on that generational history that they know, they are able to have certain stories or certain things about you. They can tell you your home area, they can tell you your village, they can tell you there's a tree like this, they can tell you this road you can take. So in essence, if you're looking for someone to tell you something accurate about yourself, yes, you will get it. And you see, the challenge is many of them, even today in many churches, you'll find that yes, they are speaking true things, they are prophesying to the people about their lives, but you see, they are not speaking from the spirit of truth. They are speaking from the spirit of divination, of gainsay, and there are various ways that you can be able to tell and distinguish. And what you can see, Paul here, through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, he was being grieved. Why? Because this lady, yes, she was saying the right thing. She was speaking every day, saying that, you know what, these are the servants of the Most High God. They are telling you the way of truth. And you can see one thing that they, you know, this spirit wants to be recognized. And this spirit wants to get the affirmation of spiritual authority. Now, if Paul was not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he would have said, well, this woman can be my prophetess, or she can be our prophetess, because she stands in the middle of the service and says, these servants of the Most High God. So in a way, if the spirit of discernment was not there, you would have entertained this person as a member, and would have entertained, because the Bible says this went on for many days. And I'm thinking this in a way could have even be in disorderly, because you can imagine maybe Paul is trying to preach the word of God and this woman just stands in the middle and says, these servants are the servants of the Most High God. And Paul got to a point where he realized that this was not from the Spirit of God, and that inner witness within him was vexed, got grieved, and he knew that he was dealing with a demon. And immediately he took his authority and turned to her and said, you demon, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. Now you see, when you're dealing with divination, when you're dealing with a spirit of error, certain things that you will see that is common. One is that there is a use of, what you will call profit. There's a lot of money that is involved. So a false prophet or a prophet operating under the spirit of divination will always insist that you give a sacrifice, will always insist that you give a prophet's money, will always insist that you give a prophet's reward, will always insist that you give water to the prophet, will always insist that you give, make the bread of the prophet first before, before yourself. So the focus so much is on what you give first, your offering first before the prophecy. Or if they're saying, okay, I'm going to prophesy to 10, people, but you must give $1,000, or something like that. So when you're dealing with the prophet, spirit of divination, and of course there are those, of course, who also may not have the spirit of divination, but they just have the spirit of greed. So for them, it's more about, prosperity, and it's just about, can I get all this money from all these people? So there at times there are two spirits that operate there when you're dealing with money. So there are those who it is just the spirit of divination. That giving, that offering that you give is what activates that spirit, and it's what makes a covenant with them that they are able to, to access you. So by the time you're giving, you're actually connecting to that spirit, and by that spirit you're granting it access and a covenant to you that it is able to now access some form of history that you can have, or future. It can create a certain form of future that you can walk into. And you see, that is the spirit of deception. Now, Paul recognized that he was dealing with the spirit of deception. Another thing that you'll see, we've spoken about gain, is that they would also be having, this cartel. And you can see how when Paul cast out the demon from this lady, immediately the masters got into war. And nowadays you'll be surprised, you'll find prophets are ready to fight. They can, send goons, they can send people to attack you. There's so much cartels that are involved that unless you can, and in the same way that this cartel was able to distinguish, or rather they was able to come and fight against Paul, is the same way that these prophets of today that are false will also fight you with carnal means, will send people to you, will, use all forms of extortion and all that to defend themselves. So what you see, this slave girl could easily have been confused to be a servant of God. But you see, the inner witness of the Spirit, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit is able to distinguish this. Now, I'll pick, and this is a message that I think I've listened before from Apostle Romeo Sai, and he was able to give 5 tests of how you can be able to distinguish someone who is prophetic. And I think if you're able to look for that, and one of the things that he say, that number one is the Bible test. Are you able to say, is this prophecy in line with scripture? Now, if someone prophesies to you and says that, well, God has shown you to be my wife, or something like that, but then you say that, okay, let me first confirm with my husband that whether you're saying is true, because this is something that has happened. And because the person, yes, is giving a prophecy, but if you correlate that with reality and with scripture, is not true, because you cannot prophesy to someone who is married to be your wife. So now that is not according to scripture. So if a prophecy is giving you a direction that is leading you into sin, that is contrary to the written word of God, then that is a spirit of deception or the spirit of error. Secondly, we also see is the fruit test, where the Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. You know, you shall know them by their fruits, not by their gifts. Yes, there are people who are gifted. They can preach the word of God. They can tell you true things. You know, some of them were already gifted in teaching before they moved into the spirit of error. So if you listen to them, you'll find that, yes, they can preach the word of God, but you see, you shall know them by their fruits. What is the evidence of their lives? How are the people they are raising behaving? You know, what can you see the growth in them spiritually? What is the evidence of their life? You know, the Bible tells us that consider the outcome of those who have taught you the word of God. What is the outcome of their lives? Number three also is now what we have been looking at, what Paul utilized here, is the discernment, the spirit test, where you're able to discern. The Holy Spirit within you will bear witness. If you're dealing with the wrong person, within you will not have peace. You will have a vexation of the spirit. You'll have a grieving of the spirit. But when you're really with someone, a servant of God, your spirit will agree with that. The Holy Spirit will agree. Why? Because we have the same spirit. The Bible says the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So that discernment of the spirit, that spirit test, inner discernment, will be able to distinguish whether you're dealing with a false prophet or you're not dealing with the right prophet or with the true prophet. And then number four is the character-based test. What is the character? You will find that when you're dealing with prophets that are using the spirit of divination or witchcraft or false prophets, they use a lot of carnality. There's a lot of immorality, sexual immorality among them and also among their team. Now, why? Because those spirits that they use, most of the time they are serviced by sexual immorality. So you'll find either this person is told they have to be sleeping with a dead body, or they have to be sleeping with, you know, with virgins, you know, with young ladies all the time, or they have to be sleeping with married women, you know, or sleeping even with, you know, with boys and things like that. So based on that spirit that they are using is serviced by that immorality. So when you check the character and you see that these people are lying, they're caught in various forms where they can lie without a problem. To them, it's not an issue to lie or to be caught in fraud, you know, or financial scandals. Then you can know that you are dealing with a wrong spirit. So you can be dealing with someone who is diabolical. And some of them are just con men, because some of them do not necessarily have engaged any spirit, but they're just con men. But you see, the desire to get power, the desire for miracles ends up leading people to error. I mean, there are many clips you can watch online, and there's one I watched where this guy really desired the prophetic, and he actually went to another country where he went under the water, and you know, and he came out, and you know, he was told to go and sleep by the graveside for three nights or some at night, and he did that, and then he's given, you know, these two gods, and he has to call them fire by force, and such that when he's praying, he says by fire, by force. No, there's so many things that are happening, and the aim is not for us to know all the, you know, dimensions of Satan, but our aim is to know how to distinguish right from wrong. And lastly, the last test that he gives is the clarity test, in that prophets should communicate clearly. Servants of God will always try to make it very clear. Yes, God might have limited them in certain situations because of sensitivities to communicate everything, but whatever it is that God has given them, they will communicate clearly. I can add further, anytime you're dealing with a prophet of God, is that they can give you direction or they can give you judgment, but it always comes with grace. God always gives a way of escape. So as we conclude, we can see that as we walk in this Christian life, we are going to face chances to be deceived. We're going to be faced, we're going to encounter the enemy. We're going to face the spirit of deception. We're going to face error. And if we are not sensitive to the Spirit of God, we are able to fall victim to false prophets or fall victim to wrong spirits and assuming that they are Spirit of God. And that's what the Bible says, test every spirit to see if it is the Spirit of God. Because there are many spirits that are outside there that can even mimic the Holy Spirit. And someone will say, yes, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, but it is not the Spirit of God. God is able to help us. God is able to protect us. And in the same way, Paul and Silas, they faced this challenge. Yes, they were beaten. Yes, they were thrown in prison. But you see, God used that opportunity to bring a jailer and his entire household and other prisoners to come and see and know the Word of God. And of course, there are other messages there you can really focus on, you know, on the power of praise and worship. And this one, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey has done a great job on that with the Hallelujah Challenge. But what was in my heart is to share really how can we distinguish this and how can we walk in discernment, especially when we are in the mission field and especially when we're dealing in the churches and with the challenge that we have in the church today. And I pray that God will give us wisdom in all this. And I'll stop there and I'll welcome my sister if you have any reflections. Okay, if we are good to go. Okay, thank you, I understand. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We give you glory, we honor your holy name. Thank you that you are a merciful God. You are in charge of our lives. And indeed, you've promised that, Lord, you will not let our foot slip. And indeed, many times we encounter challenges, we encounter issues that bring deception, issues that bring confusion to our lives. And unless you lead us, oh God, unless your Spirit gives us direction, unless you direct our steps, we are easily able to fall into the prey of the enemy. And Father, this morning, I thank you for my listeners. I thank you for those that desire to know the truth, that Lord, in your Spirit, in their spirit, they shall have the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of discernment, the spirit to be able to distinguish between the right and the wrong, the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of deception. Oh God, I pray for clarity. Oh God, I rebuke every work of the devil against their lives. Those that have entered into covenants knowingly or unknowingly, I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, the blood that is able to rescue them from every covenant of darkness that they may have engaged in. Oh God, I thank you because there is a blood that is greater than any blood that has been shed. There is a sacrifice that beats them all, oh God. And I thank you that even as they receive you, oh God, even as they ask for forgiveness, I disconnect them from every tie of darkness in the name of Jesus. I speak a word of breakthrough. I speak a word of release. I remove them from bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for deliverance that is taking place. And thank you for your Spirit that is moving in a special way, oh God. I release your word. I release your grace. And I thank you for direction. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for the demonstration of your Spirit that is taking place. And indeed, whatever that we do in our lives, the Lord, may it bring you glory. Even as we go on to carry on our various activities, go ahead of us. Keep us, sustain us, and watch over us. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We honor and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Thank you. Have a blessed, blessed day. And then may God go ahead of you in all these things and give you wisdom and clarity. May Shalom. And until we meet again, my name is Dr. Emmanuel Sommer. God loves you.